Welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. Coming up later in the show, we have the chief technology officer who served under President Obama. Her name's Megan Smith. She and her assistant CTO are being honored as distinguished citizens at the San Francisco Commonwealth Club. But first, we're going to jump back into our conversation with angel investor, raconteur, and socially active person Jason Calacanis. The chat picks up with a brief summary around the universal basic income theory. That's the one we were just talking about in the last segment. Now, for background again, the universal basic income, or UBI, is where every citizen gets a monthly check from the government, no strings attached. Alongside that, welfare, food stamps, and other social programs, well, they go away. We also get Jason's take on what's hot in the startup sector. That's where he invests. Turns out efficiency never goes out of style. And 3D printing is getting very real very fast. Oh, and if you ever wanted to know exactly what he wants to see from a pitch, well, you'll want to stick around. Now let's get to it.
This is the black swan moment. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. Nobody does. Nobody knows if we're going to find another group of jobs. Nobody knows if the jobs are all going to go away, how fast they're going to go away. Everybody's guessing. The people who are building the technology don't know.
Okay.
Elon Musk doesn't know. Google doesn't know. Everybody's trying to figure it out. And so if the people who are in the thick of it don't know.
Right.
And they're...
Are we sure about Jeff Bezos?
Yeah, I don't think Bezos exactly knows either. I mean, he doesn't know if, all the factory jobs that he's replacing and all of the Walmarts he's going to put out of business and all the small mom and pop shops that Walmart put out of business, maybe, you know, people shouldn't be doing these jobs to begin with. We don't have telephone operators right. anymore. We don't, 1% of the country works in agriculture. It used to be 50%. So nobody's complaining that 49% of us are not doing backbreaking labor picking apples and grapes.
Right.
You know, if a robot can go pick grapes and apples for us, that seems like a good thing to me. If a robot can make your coffee and your life's work is not frothing milk, I think it's kind of meaningless to froth milk all day, all due respect to the baristas out there. I mean, right. If you're making latte art, maybe there's something.
Right, there's something there.
There's something there.
Something artisanal, I guess.
But I don't think those people working at Starbucks all day, like this was their dream when they were growing up.
No, I'm sure they have a pivot point at some point.
Yeah, it's a means to an end for them. So,
exactly, yes. And good on Starbucks for at least, providing some healthcare along the way and a little bit of security. That's fine, but that's a segment of the economy that, you're right, should probably not be a growing segment.
Right. And so how do we get to this new world where physical labor goes away and then also tedious white collar labor goes away? Like, do people really want to be in trucks every day for 12 hours?
Well, that's coming pretty fast. That's coming pretty fast.
Yeah. I mean, we don't want people driving trucks all day long, all night long and living that lifestyle. So it's a hard lifestyle. We also don't want them to be unemployed and destitute.
That's fair. 12 to 15 million around the world drive trucks, and that's going to be gone within 5 years, I think.
The largest job in 2/3 of the states in America. So number one job in 2/3 of the states in America.
Over the road.
What people also don't realize is, hey, we got millions of truck drivers, but think about all the truck stops and all the people who maintain the trucks and the repair the trucks and the gas stations. I mean, there's a whole infrastructure around this concept, just like in agriculture there was, and it's going to go away. It'll be zero.
I'd be remiss, and we're running low on time, if I didn't ask you more about the future from where you sit as an angel investor, an angel investor of some renown. You have more than 100 companies under your belt at this point,
sure.
I think.
Yeah.
What are you seeing as far as building the future goes? And I'm going to save my favorite question for end, and I'm just going to let you know right now it's about space.
Okay. So one of the things I'm seeing is efficiency. Saving time and saving money is becoming very virtuous because of sensor technology.
Okay.
We're able to know what's going on in the world to a much greater degree, which gives a little more certainty in decision making. So I'll give you an example. There's a company called Density, which I invested in 4 years ago, that just recently got a Series A investment and is doing very well. What they do is they create a hockey puck, essentially, if you picture it in your hand, that hangs over doors. And when people come into a room, it uses computer vision to read how many people are in the room. So here in the studio, we have two. And then there's 10 other studios here. How many of them are in use? How many hours are they in use? There's a big debate here probably of how many studios do we need? And,
yes, it is.
What's the utilization? Because these are expensive and we're here in San Francisco. And if you found out the capacity of each studio is this percent, and then on Saturdays there's nothing going on, and on this day there's nothing going on, and these hours nothing going on, you might be able to reduce the footprint of this radio station by 20%. just knowing and understanding the utilization as opposed to guessing it and looking at some manual calendars that somebody's keeping on a Google calendar, an Outlook calendar.
There's one on a tape to this studio door.
Exactly. That is the current state of technology. But if I put a $500 hockey puck up there, or eventually a $100 one, and it's completely anonymous, so it doesn't know it's you, it's not a video camera, it's creepy. It's just checking the capacity of the room and its utilization in real time. Then somebody who's at, you know, this radio station's parent company can look at all of the holdings, a million square feet of radio stations with thousands of studios, and understand exactly what percentage are utilized and how to make more intelligent decisions about building out the next one. This is powerful stuff.
Yes, it is.
Because the number two expense in most businesses after the salaries is the real estate. So
that's right. I was going to say people and then overhead.
Exactly. And the number one piece of the overhead typically is not the coffee. It's typically the rent, which is getting more and more expensive. And so this is going to be phenomenal for optimizing, you know, space. And then I have another company that's called Desktop Metal that's making metal 3D printers. And this is going to be game changing. So, you know, the ability to print in metal, it's kind of a stealthy company, but a lot of interesting companies are investing in them. They got an investment from BMW and other people. So the same way you watch people make trinkets with their little 3D printers and you're like, why do you have a 3D printer? And it's like, well, because I make ornaments.
Chess pieces.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, wow. You know, I can get a chess set for $1.99 on Amazon. Like, that's better looking and more stable. And it took you 6 weeks to print out the chess pieces.
Like, with your nothing like me.
With your $1,000 kit. It's like, makes no sense, right? But if you were building cars to order, where you need a part for a 1973 Mustang.
There we go.
Yeah, hey, and you can print it. That's pretty powerful. Or if people are, you know, so this is going to be the second wave of 3D printers that print with metals or, you know, multiple different materials concurrently is going to be pretty amazing.
What was the name of that company again?
Desktop Metal.
Okay.
So two interesting companies. You know, and Cafe X just launched, which is the robotic cafe that I invested in and joined the board of, and that's at the Metreon. And they're doing hundreds of cups of coffee a day. People love the coffee, and a robot can make your coffee.
I've had that coffee.
You've had it.
It is. It is yummy, I have to say. Yeah. I was on my way to a movie, and I stopped and got some.
Yeah. It's $3 a cup, so you save a buck. $2 for an espresso, you save $2 or a buck off of some of these other places here in the San Francisco area. And it's the robot makes no mistakes.
Wow.
And you can pick between four different beans. So that's one of the nice things about it is you pick your bean, too. So if you want Dunkin' Donuts or Verve or Pete's, you can pick.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, that's a good pitch, Jason. I'm glad
you got
in on early on
15
that
15 seconds. Well, you know, the way Cafe X came about was the founder was in Hong Kong and emailed me a video of their prototype. And I said, is that real? He said, yeah. I said, it's not CGI. And he wrote back, no, it's not CGI. We built it. And I said, come to my incubator. They were like, how do we get in? I was like, you just did.
Right on. Well, that's a good example. How does somebody get on your radar? I mean, this guy knew your email address or does he go through your podcast page?
Yeah, I mean, jason@calacanis.com, firstname@lastname.com.
All right.
Pretty easy to get me, and I'm Jason on Twitter. So if people tell me their ideas, that's not very meaningful. If you send me a business plan, that's not very meaningful in 2017. If you send me a link to a video of your product, or, you know, you show me your revenue chart or how people are using your product that you've already built and you use your sweat equity to build it yourself. You actually are a craftsperson who knows how to build stuff in the world. Fantastic.
Makers. All right.
Yeah. I mean, right now there's talkers and there's makers. People who talk about building businesses, there's no place in the world for them.
Jason, your time is valuable. We value it. Thank you for coming in.
My pleasure.
That was Jason Calacanis, angel investor, author, and potential candidate for mayor of San Francisco someday. We have links to his almost daily podcasts and postings at facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. We also have links to the music we choose for each week's show on that very same Facebook page. Coming up next, we have Megan Smith. She was Chief Technology Officer under President Obama. She's joined by her top assistant, Alex McGillivray.
A lot of it had to do with the kind of support we were getting from President Obama and Dennis McDonough, the Chief of Staff, Valerie Jarrett. These are all people who were leading. You know, Dennis often would say, there is no other meeting, you're in the meeting.
That's coming up next, so we hope you'll stick around. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Come on back.